Hi, this is Stephen Childs, The Way of Fairness. You're starting to bug me. No, I'm kidding. I say that because that's the telepathic thought that I often hear, where the others that are trying to control me. Now, let me define what the others are as best I can. Well, there's the other humans. And that, everybody agrees on, that is a living human. I don't think we'd have much disagreement that we are the living humans on planet Earth. So it might be another human that says to me, you're starting to bug me. Now, you know, like with when we have children, and they can be irritating, annoying, or something, they're bugging us. Now, a person that's cruel might just turn around and smack them in the face. Don't bug me. You know, I'm imagining somebody really cruel versus somebody that's very kind and wise. Now, the wise person would say, they would start a conversation with the person, with the younger person that's doing something that's irritating the older person. See, I'm playing in the role of the younger when I went into that voice. I'm playing like I'm a 5-year-old boy. And then, you know, I go with my voice in like a deep manner. So that's like a boy playing like he's an older person. So all of this is role playing. I'm doing it right now. I'm playing the role of me. And you're playing the role of you. So we have our private life and we have our public life. And we put on airs. I wonder what that's about. I'll have to look into that. I haven't thought of that phrase for a long time. We put on a act. That Carl Jung called it a persona. That we present to the public. It's not our real self. We have to be very careful. I'm going into a sarcasm voice. We have to be very careful about these others because we might bug them. And if they're cruel, they'll smack us. They'll bloody our nose. They'll tie us up and pour gasoline on us and burn us up on fire because we bug them. Or I'm being extremely vicious and like somebody who's very monstrous that would be like that. Very cruel. And that person that's very cruel was treated very cruelly too when he was younger, him or her. So here we are, the humans on planet Earth, and we don't really know where anywhere really is. It's just here. It just is. We're in the Milky Way galaxy in this one of how many 10 billion, maybe more, other galaxies with 10 billion stars each, and that's where we're at. We're here and you're there. I am here where I'm at, and you are there where you're at. So that's kind of simplifying it, wherever there and here is. So anyway, the cruel thing. Since we're just a group of humans on planet Earth and we can do whatever we want when we want it, well, somebody else will stop us, right? Darn, they're always stopping us from our dreams coming true. We're trying to make a successful life and somebody else is in the way. Honk your horn at them. Get out of the way. You're driving too slow. They used to call it the rat race. We're in the rat race. Like a lab rats and some mad scientist experiment. So we're presented with this choice. If we all get our shit together, they used to say that we need to get our shit together. Well, what are we going to do with our shit when we get it together? I know, we're going to give it to that cruel guy we're going to give that cruel guy all of our shit and say, look, stop being cruel or you're going to get our shit. Because we got our shit together and you better be careful. So that, you know, they came up with that phrase in the 60s and I had no idea what the F is that even about, getting your shit together. I don't know. That's just what people said. So there's like the group of people around me, and they're quite a ways away. The closest human to me right now that I can see is over 100 yards away. And across a river on top of that. But, you know, we can sense each other's minds. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in finding out if my telepathic experience is A, total hallucination, B, real, but I'm in a delusional state about what it really is, and C, I understand it. Well, it's not C because I don't understand it. It's B. I think it's real, and I don't really understand the dynamics of this telepathic communication. Now, maybe other people are affected by the ruler of the Unimind. Did you ever see Buzz Lightyear and the Unimind? And everything affects everybody else. We're like those guys, where everything's affecting everybody else. And this whole thing, this sphere could go good or it could go evil. Yeah, so that's like real life in a way. That was very good artistic imagination. Now, if it goes evil, everybody's going to be cruel and they're going to say, you're bugging me. We're going to slap the bejesus out of you for bugging me. And on the other hand, we could be kind and we could say, what's going on with you? Why are you acting like that? What, you know, it's like I'm not condemning you. I'm just, do you need some help? Is something wrong? We care about everybody here and we're fair to everyone here and we're concerned because you're not talking to anyone, or you act like you're in a conversation with someone else that's not here. Well, maybe they are, you know? Well, you can't admit that. We'll have to tie you up and torture you for admitting that you're telepathic, because the leader of the evil sphere wants everyone under his total control and nobody can ever admit that they're telepathic. And we hurt each other because we're suspicious. We can feel the other guy's mind. Like, I see somebody with darker skin and there's like a biological thing, that's a different tribe guy. I got to be careful. He's a different tribe. And so I think that's in our genes, to be careful of the different tribes. But we can get past that and make friends with other tribes in spite of that. There's a lot of psychological research done along this line. And so we're at a place where if we get our shit together, we can make this choice to become caring of each other and kind to each other and fair to each other. And we'll have a much different experience of life if we do that, as opposed to being cruel and suspicious and in the rat race, competitive, and we're all trying to get the money and get the money and get the honey. You know what we want? We want the girl and we want the money, and we're in competition and the human people could become very evil, and the males could be very evil, and the females could be very evil, and there would be lots of secrecy. And what if they found out what we were doing and what we were thinking about them and what we're trying to do to them? They would probably kill us for what we're doing. You know, there's like that possibility of extreme evil So we're looking at a range, a spectrum of possibility from the one extreme where the unimind sphere goes evil to the other extreme where it goes good. So the topic of gang stalking came up yesterday, and I looked on YouTube and I found a few videos, and one was by a guy who's explaining it from his point of view, and it almost sounds like he's a tweaker. Tweakers, when they get paranoid from meth, they get thinking that all the others are stalking them, you know. So it's delusion. It's not real. So that's one extreme of it, is it's total delusion. And on the other hand, the other extreme is there's really a group of people trying to defeat you. Well, when you're a child growing up and you're misbehaving, imagine you're actually trying to get away with doing something wrong, and you're hiding it from everyone. And so the entire group turns toward you and focuses on you. And so they become like real gang stalkers to you, the family, because you're not fitting in. You're not being fair. So if the child's unfair, that's the proper role of the gang stalking phenomena, is we're focused on you and we're watching what you're doing, and we know you're hiding stuff. You're being secretive. So, you know, we've been there. And we all have to be fair to each other, and we can have a conversation and laugh about what we were thinking. So there's no condemnation for someone doing wrong. Now, in our world, if you have a criminal record, it's like you're toast. It's done. It's with you forever. It's going to be held against you for all eternity. And so that's the way our law works now. And so that's one of the factors that's making us cruel, turning us into cruel people. Because they're doing it to me, and I'm going to do it to them too. And, you know, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to take everybody with me, kind of thing. And so here again, we don't want to point the finger and say, you guys are condemned for all eternity. This is never forgivable, and we're going to put you all on Alcatraz. Now, why am I hearing about people being put in the prison of Alcatraz telepathically? What's up with that? Can we admit that we're having telepathic thoughts of Alcatraz? Or am I the only one? See, now, when I'm the only one and the others are all hiding it, that's where it gets like the crazy kind of gang stalking. Like, they know, but they're hiding it from me. Paranoia. But what if it's true? What if it's true? So it can be a true thing, and then you might be afraid of everybody around you if you start thinking they're all out to get you, you know? So that's a possibility. Everybody's out to get you. We're focusing on you, and you're secretive, and you're up to no good. You might be a bomber or a murderer, or you might have weapons on you or knives and all kinds. You might know somebody that's going to take away our property and our way of life and things like that. So it could be true. But on the other hand, what if we're not like that and we're all helping one another? And as soon as people are willing to cooperate and be fair to us, they're totally forgiven. They can have their secret. We don't even care what you are doing or thinking. It doesn't matter, because you see what's going on, and now you're being fair. So you can have your privacy and your secrecy. We don't need to know about your private life. And when people are in this other state, like 1984 with Big Brother, surveillance state, and the government and all the individuals are all spying on each other. That's what happened with in Nazi Germany. They were spying on each other. Is anybody revolting against the Führer, you know? Is anybody not going to church on Sunday? Is anybody not saying their prayers? Has anybody not surrendered to the God Almighty, that the only commandment that matters is you love Him and surrender to Him, and then everything's forgiven as long as He's the boss? But there's no one to be found. It's the group of people that are all beating each other up into submission, and nobody's causing it except for ourselves. Do you understand that? There's not anybody out there making us do this. There's people influencing us to do negative. Why? I don't know. We could have a conversation. Why are you trying to destroy us? Okay, let me tell you about myself. Years ago, I started having these dreams about being in some role of... It actually followed biblical lines. So I was in the role of being the Savior in Revelations. And I was learning about dreams, and I was learning they're symbolic, and I'm supposed to be able to figure this out. That's what I figured out. So it's what I figured out is those are just dreams. They're symbolic. It doesn't mean that's actually the way it is. It's something along those lines. So, you know, stay tuned to more dreams for clarification. So it's kind of like I feel like I was tested to see if I would go crazy over this stuff, to see if I would misinterpret it, if I would start trying to gain an empire and create a cult or something. I'm just talking possibilities. And on the other hand, I could actually be valuable in bringing about a better future for humanity. And that's what I've been trying to do. And it's not working, so I have this telepathic conversation going on with... I don't think they're human. I don't know what they are. And they're telling me... They're playing the role of the bullies, of the gang stalkers. So they're saying, like, I'll be doing something, and I start questioning myself as I'm making coffee this morning. It happened. I'm giving you the example exactly as I remember it. So I'm making coffee, and I have to grind some coffee because I'm about out of ground coffee. And I self-analyze. You know, like, I do a self-analysis to check on myself. Am I doing right? Am I out of line? Am I behaving incorrectly? Am I not being... the way I want to be. And so as soon as I start to self-analyze, introspection it's called, then they say, you're starting to bug me. So this mean guy, he will not allow anyone to be introspective. No introverts allowed. We're going to tie them all up, pour gas on them, and burn them all up because they're introverts. See, they don't want you focused inwardly, because if you focus inwardly, you'll find out what's going on, and you'll overthrow this tyrannical, cruel, mean, whatever it is. It's a monster. It's not really a monster. It's a group of people that are in that way of thinking. See, there's no one else around. There's no gods out there that have ultimate create. There's no one that created this place that has all power that determines what's really the truth, because it's Him, you know. There's not one. It's us instead. It's the whole totality of things together that has all power. So there is something that has all power. It's the all, in one word, is everything. But it's not working in harmony. Right now it's fighting against itself. We have Democrats fighting Republicans. So, oh, and we have Baptists fighting Mormons, or we used to, and you see my point? We have Christians fighting Muslims, and Jews fighting Muslims, and Christians, and so all three of those are fighting each other. So, so here's the good part. No, it's the bad part, actually. So because I've been trying to create a better future, and I've failed. So far, it's not happened. Maybe it has in the future, like I was told in a telepathic message, that in 100 years, they'll find my work, and then it will save the world. You know, it'll create, people will become kind and fair-minded in 100 years. And, but right now, it's not working. People have turned more cruel, we're more divided, there's less unity, and so I have taken this opposite strategy. So I'm not trying to destroy, see what I mean? I'm not trying to save the world, the earth, the universe. I'm trying to destroy it. It's evil, and I'm trying to get rid of it all. I want to have the ability to just make it all go away. And so, when this telepathic being, I don't know what it is, when it's playing the role of the bad guy, and it says to me, "You're starting to bug me," and I'm, instead of trying to not bug, I'm trying to bug you, I'm trying to destroy you. You know, I'm trying to destroy everything. Everything has turned evil. I'm trying to get rid of it all. And so it's like a different strategy where they could exploit me. If I'm trying to do good, they would exploit my trying to do good. So now I'm not trying. Well, see, what is good and evil? If the thing is evil, it's good to destroy it because it's evil. If the thing is good and you destroy it, then that's evil. You see my point? So like Shiva's the destroyer of evil, and what he's going to do is he's going to destroy everything because it all turns evil. That's the story of Shiva. And it's with fire. So that's also in the Christian religion. Well, the Christian religion is just a copycat thing. The God of the Christian religion is a composite of a conglomerate. Is another word. It's a conglomerate of a whole bunch of other gods. And the ideas are conglomerate ideas from Hindu. The destruction of evil with fire, that's in the Christian religion. It might be common throughout humanity. You know, Carl Jung talked about the collective unconscious, and they have a technical term for this phenomena, where the same thing appears in separated tribes that don't have any way of communication. But guess what? They have telepathic communication. They're connected to the collective unconscious. And so, see, if Jung is right that this exists, it is telepathic. That's exactly what it is. And I just found a video on something I'm very hopeful, because they're starting to look into this. And it's the quantum entangled consciousness. So we found that things are all actually one. And and so we thought, well, what about the mind? So this is like Carl Jung's, like, if he still exists somewhere, he's like, finally, they're on the right track. They're looking at the connection of the collective unconscious and the collective consciousness. And they even have a way to describe it scientifically. It's quantum entangled consciousness. Entangled sounds kind of a problem, but if by being connected to the thing, it saves your life by being connected. And if you're not connected, you get washed away in the flood because you're not connected. So see, it's a good thing to be connected to everything, because then we can all help each other from distance magically. Apparently with magic, with the power of intention and so forth. So we have all this new age stuff with people trying to make this kind of thing happen. And that's what I've been telling you about. I'm trying to make this thing happen where we create this world of fair people that care about each other, instead of a world of people that are out of control because they're controlled by these other controllers. And what are the other controllers doing? They're trying to get control. Why? Because they were controlled. So they're trying to get control. So like the tribes that were controlled, they're trying to get control, so they're not controlled. Obviously, that's what I'm doing too. I'm trying to get control of the whole thing, so it's not controlling me. The outside, there's like, for each one of us, there's you, and you have your mind and your body, and I don't think you can have a mind without your body, because your mind comes from your brain. That's what I think. And if there's resurrections, it's from other extraterrestrials, that their mind came from their bodies, and they know how to do it. So it's not coming from some all-powerful God. It's coming from beings that evolved in the universe, just like us. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what technologies are here that we don't know about in a more advanced level than human? And so the inside me is my body and my brain, which creates my mind. So there's the two are not separate. The body and the mind are, the mind is an merged function of the body. So the brain is just the body. So the human body is designed so it emerges mind. And the mind emerges from a human at a very young age. They're somewhat conscious at birth. We don't have memory. But I think there's consciousness to some degree. The sense of I am. You know, a child learning about me and others is an interesting phenomena. 1-2 years old, they start figuring that out about themselves. So anyway, the outside has a body and a mind, and all the minds come from the body of material. And so this self-similarity appears everywhere in the universe. There's material, they call it the matter, the matrix, the mother. Those are all the same root words. And the mind emerges from the body. And so from the universal body, the mind emerged. And it's one quantum entangled mind with all the other beings in this vast universe. We're already quantum entangled with them. So this explains my being told precognitive dreams, they're in connection with my mind. You know, it's like I call up somebody on or send them a text on the smartphone, and they like just tell me in my mind without a smartphone. So, am I bugging you? Good. I see everything turned evil, and I'm trying to destroy you because everything's evil, so I'm trying to destroy everything. That's one thing I can choose to do. If it's all evil, if the outside mind, the big mind out there, if it's all evil toward me, then my response is I try to destroy it. I try to destroy what's destroying me. That's what humans do. That's what we're doing right now with politics. That's what we're doing now with religion. And, we have to follow the laws. It's not legal. I can't murder people, or I'd go to. They would put me in Alcatraz, but Alcatraz shut down. It was too expensive to run an island prison. So we have laws, and we ruled by laws, and that's better than being ruled by Stalin, where if you disagreed with Stalin, he would send you to the salt mines and torture you and kill you. That's what Trump's going to do to me if he wins. So I don't want him to win because I'm his enemy, because he sides with falsehood. So anybody who sides with falsehood is my enemy, and I'm trying to destroy them in a legal way. I'm doing it in a kind way. I'm trying to convince them the actual truth is better, because we're all going to be kind and fair to each other, and we're not going to hold anything that you did against you. Putin and Trump and all those people are totally forgiven if they'll just agree to the way of fairness. And I'm going to continue to try to sell this idea. Have a great day. Hello, this is Stephen Childs, The Way of Fairness. A few days ago, yesterday, I made a video about Shiva Hell Satan, the new god, becomes the old evil god, and then it becomes the new good god, kind of a thing. So the Old Testament was kind of that way. There was two gods involved before that, so it was like the bad god became the good god with that one. And so I'm not going to go into the exact details on that. I just wanted to explain how Hitler used the swastika, and he was trying to take over the whole world. And they're those kind of people, those German kind of people, were going to be the only kind of people that rule planet Earth. And of course he failed, but the point here is that he used the swastika, which is a symbol in the Hindu religion, and why it's also shows up in like Native American people, but the spin is clockwise rather than counterclockwise. So in India they use two, both directions, and the clockwise I've always associated with destruction, and the counterclockwise is destruction, and the clockwise is construction. So those two features are part of reality. Even a mountain, it takes a certain amount of time for it to be created, and it takes a certain amount of time for it to be destroyed. So everything that, like a person has a life cycle. Birth is creation and death is destruction of the lifetime of a human. So it's just an aspect of reality that we can observe. So that's like science. See, when you observe something and then you make a prediction that everything's going to fall into that kind of classification. And then you try to find if there's anything that's not involved in that category of thought. Okay, so I think it's very significant that Hitler chose the swastika in the counterclockwise. And I don't know what all he thought it meant. But Heinrich Himmler, his right-hand man, his number one guy, was Heinrich Himmler. And Heinrich Himmler carried a copy of the Bhagavad Gita with him all the time, a Hindu scripture. It's a war scripture. And the force of good defeats the force of evil. And it's two families that are fighting in India. And when you look at this stuff as like dysfunctional families, in our day and age, we've defined the problem of good and evil in family dynamics as functional and dysfunctional. So, dysfunctional is authoritarian. There's somebody, the boss, and everybody has to surrender to that boss. Now, the Old Testament with Yahweh or Jehovah, those authoritarian gods, that's like a dysfunctional family. And it's not democratic at all. So in a functional family, it's rather democratic. All the people have a vote. Doesn't matter what your age is. If you can talk, you got a vote. You know, it's like what you think is important. And it goes into the decision that the family makes. So there's not really a single authority in the family. It's the group itself. And of course, the older people have experience and wisdom, and so the parents have the final say in what goes. That's biologically the way humans are. So we're not talking about defying gravity, we're talking about the way humans are in the best way of being versus the worst way of being. The way to be as humans. And so, in the USA, we've adopted the democratic government. And so there's not, we have a president, but he's not the king. He's ruled by law, just like everyone else. And so we do have a degree of democracy. Not very much, but some in the USA. And in India, they had the Godhead, and there's the destroyer of evil, which is Shiva, and then there's other aspects of devotion where they use the counterclockwise swastika as well. But I think it's very significant that Hitler chose that symbol as like his national symbol. And I was doing some research because of AA. I got interested in the roots of AA and the Oxford group. Frank Buckman was the guy's name who founded the alcoholic side, I think, of, or maybe not, maybe it was more than just alcoholism. They had an alcohol branch in the Oxford group that worked with people that were alcoholic. So Frank Buckman, he organized a meeting to go to talk to Hitler, and they were going to try to persuade Hitler into Christianity before Hitler became as the monstrous slayer of people that happened later with the authoritarian structure in Germany supporting him. And this authoritarian structure can happen anywhere. And so they told the Oxford group, Frank Buckman, Hitler refused to actually meet with him. He met with some of his underlings. And they had chosen for their mythological source of power the Hindu religion, and the swastika means good luck, good fortune. And so you have the Old Testament God that's an authoritarian tyrant, and if you're not on his side, he would be rather monstrous. And that's what they wanted, because they were having tribal warfare. The Jews had been surrounded by other tribes, and you can imagine, they were like the only white tribe and surrounded by non-white people to some degree, to quite a high degree. So they became vicious to defend themselves. And the point I want to make again is that I think it's significant that Hitler fought against the Jewish people. See, the people got blamed for that authoritarian religion. So people that were atheist Jews would have been killed by Hitler. You know? Scholarly, well-behaved, excellent people, although atheist, would have been killed by Hitler. If you look into Spinoza, his God is rather pantheistic. So he's not talking about Yahweh. And Spinoza is a famous Jewish philosopher. And we've been trying to get away from that tyrannical authority as humans for years, for many years. And we haven't been able to do it yet. So I became a big supporter of Alice Miller, and I heard of her from John Bradshaw, who had a program on TV in the 1980s, called On the Family, and I had great hope for humanity when that program came on, because they, John Bradshaw, had decided to take what the psychologists had learned about dysfunctional families and functional families, the one being democratic and the other being authoritarian. And he wanted to tell the people, he wanted to tell everyone, not just the well-educated, about how what they'd learned about family dysfunction. And so Alice Miller was one of the psychologists that was fundamental in coming up with this knowledge of dysfunctional family. And she was German. And she watched her German people become killers of other humans. And it was, she was shocked. It disturbed her greatly. And so she was in this circle of psychologists there in Germany. And she, one of her experiences was she became very disturbed because they wouldn't hear her. She was explaining this to them, and it was falling on deaf ears. Well, they were suffering from dysfunction. They were authoritarian. It was triggering something that would not allow them to hear. It's like this monster of authority that stops us from being able to learn anything new. And she had to leave them. She had to leave her group of people and go on her own. That's difficult to do. And she did it, and she just started writing books about this subject. So, it makes you wonder, why is it that we know this, the educated people in psychology understand this authoritarian problem? There's some other people researching authoritarianism one guy was a Jew in Hitler that wasn't killed, and he did research on authoritarian personality. And it's like if you're raised in an authoritarian family, your chances of being an authoritarian person are very high. Because to go against that scheme, you're in defiance of the authority, and it will attack you. And so people that stay in that, they hold all of their anger and rage inside because you can't express it at the authority. It's not allowed. This is what Alice Miller was teaching. So it's what they do is they project it onto someone else that's less powerful. And the ruler can get the people, the authoritarian personality people, rallied together to fight against this defined enemy that's defined by the authoritarian. That's what Donald Trump has done. So the enemy is the progressive Democrats, the liberals. The enemy is George Soros. George Soros is atheist, and he is helping people that are suffering from authoritarianism in South Africa and so forth. So the lie against the authoritarian people rely on falsehood. They can't use truth, because truth shows what they're doing. So Hitler says, tell people the lie often enough and they'll believe it. Well, that's not true. What happened to Hitler? Suicide. He was doomed. So that's what we're told, is that he committed suicide rather than facing the music of being captured. So anyway, the authoritarian Jewish religion is not going to rule the world, even though their book says it will. And the Muslims will not rule the world, even so their book says they will. And the Christians won't rule the world, even though their book says they will. I don't know. Do you think that maybe people can understand that there's a better way than killing each other and hating each other? And a better way than avoiding truth? So Frank Buchman and the Oxford group, they have the alcoholic support group. And the story of Alcoholics Anonymous happens from them. And the separation from religion that established Alcoholics Anonymous. It encourages to go back to religion, but you're not required to, and you can come up with your own idea of God, and you can even be atheist. So its purpose is to solve the problem. That's it. The problem is alcohol addiction. Okay, so when the writer of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill W., his friend came over and told him that he got sober with this Christian Oxford group. And Bill says, "No, I can't buy into the religion. It's not going to happen." And so his friend, Evie, said, "Well, why don't you come up with your own idea of God and still practice this idea?" And so he thought, well, maybe that'll work. And so he tried it, and he got sober. And they changed the rules. There were six things to work on in the Oxford group, and Bill changed it into 12 steps. And they got the book published. Alcoholics Anonymous had decided to have a meeting of their own, not at the Oxford group, not with the Oxford group. So their first meeting that they tried to have, the Oxford group Christians tried to stop them from having their own meeting. The man that wrote a book about it, he said it was like a riot happened. The people that wanted to have their meeting separate from religion, they went out and they had their meeting. And you don't have to be in a religion to practice the idea of Alcoholics Anonymous. And lots of different religions are there. Atheists are there. So they do have the idea of the one, it says the one, there's one that has all power, that one is God. And I define God as just all that is. So there's not an all-knowing, all-powerful being that created reality. That's just not what we're seeing from evidence. So I've defined the all-powerful as being all that is. It's all one thing. So therefore it has all power. So I can argue with them on the level of all power. And if they want to talk all power, I'll talk all power with them all day. And I'll use evidence. And what are they going to use? Bullshit. And it fails. Bullshit always fails.